Lunch Recordings presents Harry Mount on Harry Mount's Odyssey, Ancient Greece in the Footsteps of Odysseus. Sponsored by Doro, number one in the senior mobile market.
The big conclusion I came to was that Odysseus, who, as you all know, sailed back from Troy after winning the Trojan War, back to his homeland in Ithaca, it struck me he was an extremely bad sailor. That actually, as the crow flies from Troy on the west coast of Turkey to Ithaca off the west coast of Greece, is only around about 500 miles, and even in those days you didn't have the Corinth Canal, but a good sailor could have done it in about 6 months. They had sails in 1200 BC when the Trojan War took place. But what no one ever says is that Odysseus, as well as being not a great sailor, was the first love rat. That of the 10 years sailing back from Troy, people forget that 6 years were spent in a love cave with the sea nymph Calypso, and another year with Circe. And so I tracked down these places. Circe's palace is off the west coast of Italy by Anzio, just by Rome. And I tracked down the love cave where the seductive sea nymph Calypso lived, which is called Ogygia in the Odyssey. It's actually modern Gozo next to Malta. When I got there, the cave was sadly empty of seductive love nymphs, but still an extremely beautiful place. And as I went on this journey, my big question was, did it happen? And I came up with the conclusion that I think large elements of it did happen. You made me think me mad for following this route of an apocryphal legend, but actually people have been trying to do it since the 5th century BC. Herodotus, the father of history, in the 5th century, declared that the land of the lotus eaters, where Odysseus ate, or Odysseus' men ate the lotus and fell asleep, was Gerba, off an island off the coast of Tunisia. And as early as the 4th century BC, a Greek Sicilian called Euhemerus was convinced that the whole route was completely traceable. You removed the kind of mad sea monsters and the really magical elements of the Odyssey, but there was a hard-line truth beneath it. And so ever since, those people who've been convinced that there is a truth to it have been called Euhemerists, after Euhemerus. So I'm a hard-line Euhemerus, but I come up against a lot of cynics, and the cynics have been around since the 3rd century BC. So there's been a battle between Euhemerists and the cynics, and there's a man called Eratosthenes, a skeptical, cynical Greek geographer, who in the 3rd century BC said, "You will find the scene of Odysseus' wanderings when you find the cobbler who sewed up the bag of winds," which is the bag of winds given to Odysseus by the king of the winds, Aeolus. And I didn't find the cobbler, but I did find Aeolus's island, which is Ustica, a tiny island just north of Palermo, which has been pretty silent ever since, except being used as a prison for communists by Mussolini in the 30s. And I kept on coming across signs that I did think it was true, the route of the Odyssey and the story of the Odyssey, but I'm aware that everyone tries to claim it because it's such a good, eternal story. So people in Croatia claim that Odysseus went there. People in Finland claim that Odysseus went there. And there are even people in the Hebrides who claim that Odysseus got there, and that's because of a passage where Odysseus goes to Hades, to hell at one stage, and it's described in the Odyssey as being the land of the, I'll quote now, the fog-bound Cimmerians who live in the city of eternal mist. So that's when the Hebrideans said, "Oh, that's us." And so people grab on to the legend, and they embroider it and they claim it for themselves, but I think at its heart it is true. I think Troy, off the western coast of Turkey, which is a dozen cities laid on top of each other, I'm pretty sure it is the original Troy, and there are elements in the Iliad, the description of the Trojan War, which fit with Troy. Homer talks about the sloping walls of Troy. There they are. Homer talks about Athene helping the Greeks by pointing out to them that the northwest corner of the walls of Troy was much the weakest part of the walls, and even today that is the bit that's easiest to get across. And the great hero or villain, depending on whether you're a euhemerist or not, is Heinrich Schliemann, the German archaeologist who found Troy in the late 19th century, who was a bit of a con man. He claimed to have found the treasure of Helen, which he then draped on his 18-year-old wife, Sophie, 30 years his junior. He turned out to be 200 or 300 years too early, the treasure, but that didn't stop him claiming it to be the treasure of Helen, and he was real extreme euhemerist. He had two children who he called Agamemnon and Andromache, so choosing one from both sides. His wife Sophie, was very keen on a christening for them. He wanted an ancient Greek ceremony, so they settled on a compromise of having a christening while Schliemann recited 200 Homeric hexameters over the heads of Agamemnon and Andromache. So he probably too far on the euhemerist front. But again, I think he's essentially right. And the interesting thing is that it's only the Odyssey that survives as one of these stories of Greeks returning from Troy back home. But actually, we've had, there are references to several legends, or nostoi, as they're called in Greek. Nostoi being the Greek for return, so story about returns. Nostoi as in nostalgia, which is the Greek for the pain in returning. So there were lots of nostoi, these stories about people returning from Troy. And if you accept that the war happened between a Western group and a Eastern group, they had to get home. And so there are all sorts of embroidery. I don't think the monster of Scylla existed. There is now the town of Scylla, a charming little town on the toe of Sicily, right opposite Messina, which is associated with Charybdis, the famous whirlpool, which actually everything fitted on my journeys except when I went to Messina to the site of the famous deadly whirlpool, the harbour was flat as a pancake. So that was a bit dispiriting until I gave this talk or something along these lines at Port Elliot Festival a couple of weeks ago, and a sailor, a real sort of Captain Haddock type, came up to me afterwards and he said, "You went to the wrong bit. The whirlpool has shifted." And he had sailed through the gap between the toe of Italy and Sicily, and he had got caught up in a very, very aggressive whirlpool, so that even more proof. But the, of course, one's persuaded by intense romance, and the moment I was really moved to think it was true was when I finally ended up in Ithaca, Odysseus's homeland. And when you land there, just as Homer describes, there's a double harbour, so the wind drops when you enter into the first harbour, then you turn left into a second harbour, and the wind, which was quite considerable when I went there last year, had completely dropped, and our ship could dock very safely, just as Homer describes it. He says that the boats could be drawn up on the beaches of Ithaca because it was so calm, the harbour. And when I finally got to Odysseus's palace of exactly the right date in Ithaca, I was convinced it was true, and there, like many other places, I thought of that wonderful poem, Ulysses, the Latin name for Odysseus, and it's Tennyson's poem about Odysseus having finally got home to his lovely wife, Penelope, who forgives him for all the time in the love cave. And he, despite getting home to Ithaca, he longs to set sail again. And these are the lines that he gives. He says, sitting in the harbour at Ithaca, that calm harbour, wanting to set sail again, and he says, "'Tis not too late to seek a newer world. Push off, and sitting well in order, smite the sounding furrows. For my purpose holds to sail beyond the sunset and the baths of all the western stars until I die. It may be that the gulfs will wash us down. It may be we shall touch the happy isles and see the great Achilles whom we knew. Though much is taken, much abides." And that's very much my experience of Greece, which is going through a very, very rough time. Though much is taken, much abides, and I do beg you to go there on holiday. Thank you very much indeed. Thanks.
The Oldie Magazine Recordings. This is a Radio Gorgeous production for The Oldie 2015.